back to Bread and Butter, everybody. We're serving up the basics for Hearthstone improvement in episode 71. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Tito Santana. Tito, how are you doing today?
Doc, I'm doing fantastic. And before we get to our guests, I got to ask you, are you intentionally going for a Wario vibe right now? Because you got the yellow, you got the mustache that kind of goes out. Is that like an intentional thing or just coincidence?
Just coincidental. All right. I'm more of a Waluigi fan myself.
That's fair.
Right. And we have our very special returning guest, Pocky. Pocky, how are you?
Good, good, great. Glad to be back. It's always a joy with you guys. And yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I know what we're going to talk about, so I'm excited.
So what have you been doing inside Hearthstone?
I've been playing a lot of duos. Obviously, that's like the newest.
Has Hearthstone done like a mode of a mode before?
Like, it's, you know, like Battlegrounds is a mode, but then Duos is a mode within Battlegrounds, and it's the newest mode, however you break it down. And I've been having a lot of fun, and I was very surprised by that. I was skeptical, you know, healthy skepticism, but like, I didn't think it was going to be at least as fun for me as it has been. But I've been having a lot of fun with it. So,
heck yeah. Tito, how about yourself?
I've been playing standard Hearthstone. I have been playing duos a little bit. So basically what happens is on Monday nights, or usually at the end of my stream, me and one of my mods, Pilot, who's been on the show, we play a couple games of duos to end the night. And that's my duos thing. And it's fun. I'm enjoying it. But aside from that, I'm trying to climb to legend right now. I think I'm D1 right now. I might be No, I won my last game. So I'm D1, one star, I think. I've been playing a lot of Breakfast Hunter, which is a lot of fun. It's really good against a bunch of decks, and it can survive against some others. So a lot of people aren't expecting it either, because they're expecting you to be playing the Token Hunter, and you can start it off like Token Hunter, and then you wallop them with some big beasts and some eggs and stuff. Surprise eggs, I guess. So you surprise them. I'm doing really well. So just stats, I'm like 52-33 right now, not counting mobile, with the deck. And I played some Sludge too, but the best part about Breakfast Hunter is your favorite against Warrior. And the way you beat Warrior is so satisfying, because you generate Mooklyz, and when you see their cards burn, when you see them burn Boom Boss, when you see them burn Reno, when you see them burn Bran, it is such a satisfying feeling. And when you get through their Bran, when you get through their Reno, and then you get to Stranglethorn Heart, and you bring back all these extra big minions that you created, and you have this nice giant board that they can't deal with, it is just... I recommend it. If Warrior has gotten you down, I recommend this. Doc, what have you been up to in Hearthstone?
I played a couple BGs over the weekend, but as per usual recently, my outside of Hearthstone is very busy. So just trying to do the broken dragon things with like stacking Terragosa, and then really trying to get the outrageous blood gems with Quillbor. I've tried making demons work quite a few times, and it just doesn't work for me right now. But I'm having fun trying to get Quillbor and dragons to work.
Fantastic. Well, Doc, since we're talking about it, why don't we go into your outside of Hearthstone? And Pocky, if you need a quick minute to use the restroom, get a drink, write a novel, now's the time. Go ahead, Doc.
Last Saturday, I went down to Southern Utah to go hang out with my family, because my brother was presenting his capstone project for school, which is just his culminative project of his bachelor's degree. And my brother's a film major, so it was this big like student film festival of just his school. And so that was a very, very fun experience. The whole weekend, my brother's not someone who brags or anything like that. He's very humble to like a negative degree, where he thinks that his stuff isn't as good as it actually is. He's like, it's not going to win anything based off of how they voted in the past. I just know it's not going to win anything. Lo and behold, his short film won the most awards out of anything that played. And so that was really cool. It won achievement in screenwriting, so like the screenplay, achievement in production and achievement in for first AC. So for those who don't know film lingo, AC is like the assistant to the cameraman. So generally, the cameraman's the one that's moving everything around with the camera. But an AC is someone who can like control the focus of the camera too, because the camera team can be a pretty sizable team. So it was really cool to see his film get the reactions he wanted from the crowd, and to be awarded those awards. And yeah, it was just fun being with family. Went on a hike with Cortland on one of our favorite hikes down in St. George. We cut it in half, so it was like 4.4 miles total. Saw quite a few whiptail lizards, which those are very fun and cool looking. We saw a great greater basin collared lizard. I was able to get a picture of that one because it actually stayed still. The whiptails are just too fast to be able to successfully get a picture of unless they're just really, really cold and slow moving. Played some magic with my old magic pod. So played some commander with my old roommates. That was a lot of fun. And just getting to show like where I lived the last few years. Granted, I've moved now, but with my mom and my sister, it was their first time in southern Utah, and it was a very good, fun experience. Been playing a lot of Magic, obviously. Been playing some TFT. The TFT set is also really fun right now for people that like playing a bunch of different auto battlers. Been really in a groove. I think out of my last five games, I've gotten 3 first place, so that feels really nice. I'm almost silver one, which is just fun because I try not to use like tools to show me meta builds or anything, so I just kind of figure out and learn it that way. And then there's augments that are like specific clear paths you can go. So but yeah, that's my little novel. Pocky, what have you been doing outside Hearthstone?
I've been playing a couple different games like you. I've been meaning to get back into TFT, but I haven't yet. Been playing some of the new Fortnite update. Or I was playing the new Fortnite update when they had all the avatars, the last Airbender stuff, which was very, very fun. And then I've been doing some more photography, like I said. So we talked about it a little bit before the show, but I got a new camera to do some portraits and then a little bit of macro photography and stuff. And so it's been fun working with the new camera. And let's see, is there anything else? I just got back from Seattle.
How was that?
Nice vacation out there. It was rainy.
Yeah.
Surprise Seattle in the spring, but it was nice. I go out there pretty frequently, so it was a nice relaxing vacation, and you know, helps recharge everything. So mm-hmm. That was nice.
Do you have friends or family out there? Like, what brings you to keep vacationing in Seattle?
I used to live out there, so I still have some family out there. I have some friends out there, and then my family still has a place out there. So go out to you know, take care of the place, you know, doesn't do it on its own. So someone's got to go out there. I fixed it's not the first time I fixed a shower, but it was a more involved fixing than just like replacing a shower head or something. So that was kind of it wasn't fun, but like, you know, when you have like a challenging project or like thing that you have to do, and you know, I mean, it's not that I didn't want to do it, but it's not like fun, but then you finish it, and if that feeling of accomplishment when you've mm-hmm. done something productive and new, and that was kind of a challenge because I had to do a lot of troubleshooting to figure out if it was like a pipe, or it ended up being the cartridge. It was causing no water to come out. It was, you know, it was satisfying. So I like, I don't know if you guys have those sort of things, but I like projects like that.
They're good when they go right. But
yes.
and a lot of times they go wrong before they go right. But now we have Pocky, who's the streamer, the photographer, and plumber.
Yep. Yeah.
You have that all on your card.
That's basically all my titles.
So I went yesterday, had lunch, was playing some Hearthstone. Chill day. Having lunch was important because then my wife says, hey, we're going to go down to Costco. And because we've never been to Costco in Nashville, we're going to go down to Costco, check it out. She wanted to see if she's going to get a business membership for things that she's doing. So we go down there. Jam-packed. I've never seen it. It was like, I don't even know why it was so busy. It was like we had to wait for parking, driving around. It was like a festival. We get in there. We go to
Costco membership. On a Saturday. That sounds about normal. Yeah.
That's fair. So we go to the service desk and a fight almost breaks out because the line, they didn't have any lines, like any ropes or anything like that. So two people kind of got into it about who was in the right line. So it was fun. The employees were really good about it. They're like, no, hey, stop it. They're like, hey, you're all leaving if you don't stop this. And they took care of it. So it was pretty nice. So we get there, we go in there. And my wife's sitting there and she's looking and she's like, hey, our internet's not great here, especially for the folks working upstairs, my wife and my son and stuff. So it was like, hey, we should get a new router. And that was a reasonably priced. We actually found a better price at Best Buy. Don't need all the details, but we ended up getting a router. I didn't realize that it was also, it didn't have the combo unit. So it wasn't a router and a modem. So now we have a modem coming too. I'll have that on Monday, but just having the router installed, my internet is like 3 times better. But even though I had lunch, I had to do it because I hear about it all the time. $1.50 hot dog and drink.
Yeah, ate as much of it as I could. It's the best deal out there.
It is. It was really good. It was, a decent hot dog, mustard. I was satisfied, and I definitely think it's worth it for the price. I mean, it's huge.
It's a big hot dog. You get a drink with it.
Yep.
It's actually cheaper than everything else too. Like you could get a hot dog and a soda cheaper than the cookie or the ice cream or.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
it's the secret.
So I've heard about it plenty and it was fun. Now I finally experienced it. I'm very happy, but that's not what we're here to talk about. I mean, I guess we are here to talk about it a little bit, but we're actually here to talk about Battlegrounds and more specifically both Battlegrounds and Duos. We're going to start with Duos because that's the new thing. And obviously Pocky's very excited. We're happy to have him here to talk about it. So, let's start. So how much you've said you've played a lot, how much Duos have you played so far? And I clearly you like it. So, what is it about Duos that is really kind of pulling you in?
How much have I played it? Probably north of 40 hours, I guess. I don't know how many games that is. I just remember, on the stats screen that it tracks, it said something like that. So, I played it a lot, especially when it came out. Like I said, I was on vacation. So then I had a whole week that I didn't play any Hearthstone at all. But I was actually the first North American player or America's mm-hmm. player to hit the leaderboards for Battlegrounds Duos.
Awesome.
So I was doing well. I had a really good win rate, but also volume helps. So I was definitely playing a lot. What I like about it. So, I mean, I kind of jumped in just I got to play in the preview event, before it came out and had a lot of fun. If it wasn't for that, I might have just started the new season playing solos like normal. But I played the duos and I was like, wow, wait, this is fun. And so found a couple other players to, duo with. And there's just more. There's more complexity. It feels like there's a higher skill cap. It's at the same time as having a higher skill cap, it feels more casual to me because, you're sitting there playing with friends. And I've always been a big fan of like multiplayer games that still have like a competitive element. Like I'm very big into the replayability of competitive games, but playing with other people is just more fun to me. And so I think that's what it is. It was well implemented. I thought my concerns before Duos came out were that the balance was maybe not going to be that good. And so it would just be like not fun because it's like, okay, there's no skill, doesn't really matter, and it's just like a crapshoot, and everything is here or there, and you know, and so wouldn't be that fun because winning is part of the fun, making a competitive game mode is part of the fun, and they actually, you know, shout out to the devs, they did a really good job of balancing it. I think is it perfect? Absolutely not, but it was at a spot that, you know, you could sit down and play with someone and it felt like you're playing Battlegrounds with a teammate. You had to interact with them. It wasn't two people just playing their own game. Like, it forced, you know, if you wanted to do well, if you wanted to play it to the highest possible level, you would have to coordinate with your teammate. And I think they incorporated all those elements really well. So I've just been having a lot of fun with it and continue to try and play it. Played a little bit of solos, and I need to get, you know, that solo MMR grind on. But I've been super pleasantly surprised by how fun Battlegrounds has, duos has been.
Who did you play with in the event?
In the event, I played with Jake Hurick, and then I've played with Sunglitters, Beater Babbitt, Mr. Incredible, Fast Eddie, some of Jake Hurick, Sleepy, Language Hacker. When I was in Seattle, I actually did. I lied. I did play two games of Battlegrounds because I met up with Quinter. If you're familiar with Quinter, he's streamed a little bit, and we played some IRL duos.
Nice
out there. So played with quite a few people and hoping to play with quite a few more. I played with Swaybay and BV Villain as well. So yeah, really got a number of teammates under my belt.
I was suggesting to Swaybay that when next time you guys see each other in person at either like TwitchCon or the next BlizzCon a couple years, is you guys really need to do the cupcake content together.
We did do it.
I saw that on stream yeah.
One time, yeah, where we each got a cupcake and tried both methods of eating it. I don't think either of our opinions moved much. There's validity to both cupcake methods, but our duo chemistry was much better than our cupcake eating chemistry. I will say that.
Yeah, and Sway likes to dive into the meme, so I'm sure that kind of like, well, she likes the meme and she likes to pivot, so that must have been interesting to kind of like play around with. Doc, how about yourself? How has your experience with duos been so far? And I bet you're going to say I haven't played one yet.
No, I've played duos. I haven't played it with a person that I know. I've just solo queued in duos. And I want to say in like 10 to 15 games, about half of them, my teammates have left, like at hero selection. And when duos first came out, I didn't realize my teammate had left. I thought they were like trying to get like the AFK achievement in duos. And so it took me a couple combats to understand, oh, I'm just doing this by myself now. Because for some reason, I thought from reading like one of Celeste Allen's tweets, I thought there would be like a pop-up or something letting you know your teammate had left. And so I didn't see that. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to leave and like be the jerk. And then lo and behold, I wasn't being the jerk. But it's fun. I was so excited for, I mean, I still am excited for duos. Got to preview it at BlizzCon. It was super fun there. They definitely made healthier changes to some of the duo's exclusive heroes from BlizzCon to now. Yeah, I think it's landed in a pretty sweet spot. Like, yeah, there's some things that could use tweaked, but every tribe is fun, and it's always fun to just pass. I don't know. I like trying to do the passing builds in the early game. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. Just wish I would have teammates that would stick around.
Fair enough. Maybe what they should do is if your teammate leaves after like before the first game, it just automatically kicks you out of the game and gives you 10 minutes MMR and say, hey, sorry, this guy didn't want to play, move on. Rather than making you play by yourself.
They do have they did implement MMR protection in those cases where if your teammate leaves and it's a random paired teammate, so you can't boost your MMR by partying up, but you can leave with zero MMR consequences. So if it would have been, a last place finish, you can just still leave right away and you won't lose any MMR, which is nice.
But being able to leave right away, like you get in there and you get the hero selection screen and you haven't even played your first turn yet and people leave. I think that should almost be a penalty, though, of at least maybe not MMR penalty, but maybe you can't requeue for 15 minutes.
Lever, it's a penalty for
I think the
first
lever
person.
Does get penalized. Yeah.
Okay, good.
But you aren't penalized at all if you're the one kind of left holding the short stick.
Fair enough. So how about, Doc, you said you've been doing the solo queue. How have you enjoyed it so far as far as when you've gotten to play with actual people?
It's fun. There's sometimes where the random person and I, like, will understand what needs to happen for the other player. Like, if trying to find, like, a card that will equal a triple or whatever for them. I absolutely love playing as Cho'Gall. That's just my favorite way to play duos is if it's Cho'Gall, because then you just reward each other for playing the game for free rather than only being able to reward each other by passing. But I mean, it's fun. I just wish I'm glad it doesn't exist, but I wish there was a function to where there could be voice chat for duos. And just because online, as much as I love the Hearthstone community, the people that we get to interact with and see with on Twitter, there's just as many, if not more, people that don't interact with each other that way, that we don't get to see on Twitter or anything like that, that would probably not be the most fun to be able to talk to. Which is why I'm glad it's not implemented, but I think it would be fun for like casual duo BGs for randoms to be able to have a vocal communication rather than like the peeing some game.
It'd be nice if you could
opt
in. I know
one thing that the devs...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I know one thing the devs have said they're working on is that they were surprised basically by how many people have been playing like the duos, but like solo queuing into duos. They didn't really think that many people would be taking advantage of that, but a ton of people have been. And so they really want to make that experience better by making it easier. Like if you play with a good teammate, to be able to add them, you know, even during the game. And then so you can communicate that with them via text chat. And then of course, afterwards, if you wanted to try and, you know, team up with them again, you could coordinate a voice chat either through the Battle.net client or Discord or phone call if you roll like that. But yeah, so hopefully sooner rather than later they get that done, because I think there is a lot of potential for playing like that, for playing that solo duo queue. If there was a better way to refer to it, that'd be great as well. It's so confusing. Like you got solo battlegrounds and then duo battlegrounds, and then you got solo duo battlegrounds and duo battlegrounds. And it's like, wait, which mode are we talking about? But
yeah,
you just think of it as that
hopefully,
line.
Hopefully they'll improve it.
You just think of it as that line. If like you're the only one that wants to go on the roller coasters at a theme park, they have that line single entry. You just go and hopefully you get the they squeeze you in where they can when there's extra spaces. That's all it is. I forgot to say that as before I moved us on to the solo queue. Like I said, I've been playing it for the most part. All I've played it is at the end of stream. Mostly me and Pilot, and we just, you know, it's like a palate cleanser after playing standard for the night. And it's like, even if it's like, I've enjoyed it enough where even though I know I shouldn't queue into a game of duos because it's already pretty late, it's like 11:40. I'm like, 20 minutes, we're not going to get that game. And it's, screw it, let's just do it. I've had a lot of fun doing it. I like the minimal amount I've been doing it. I don't think I'd enjoy it if I played it a lot, but I don't think I have enough bandwidth to also play a ton of battlegrounds, duos, and standard and whatnot. So just playing a little bit, keeping it interesting is fun. How about your, Pocky? You said you've been playing with a lot of people, but how's your solo queue experience been, if at all?
Solos has been pretty good. Obviously, there was a lot of changes in the last patch to the entire game of Battlegrounds. And I think they did a pretty good job in terms of making most things fresh. I think the biggest thing and I constantly harp on the devs on this, is like having a healthy rotation in the stuff that gets stale or boring. Don't be afraid to just get rid of it. And I as I was reviewing the patch notes on stream, I remember going through the list of minion removals and being like, okay, yep, good, great, good, yep, but makes sense, great, great. And there was like, it was like 60 some minions were removed, and I don't remember feeling bad about a single one. A lot of the frustrating cards like Banana Slamma and the Hawkstrider Herald got removed, and a lot of players had qualms with those cards, and so I think they did a really good job freshening stuff up. Obviously, the balance is still a work in progress, but they've made a few updates already to sort of get it to a better spot, and so I'd say Battlegrounds is in a good spot. I would love to see another pass on like hero balance. I think that's a big thing that's kind of every once in a while we get like 3 to 5 heroes that get some quality of life updates, but I'd love for them to just go through all the heroes and give them slight updates, or at least the ones that you don't pick very often, to make them a little bit more pickable, since it's such a big part of the enjoyability of Battlegrounds, is like getting a fun hero that you're excited to play. But otherwise, I think it's in a good spot.
Tyrion did nothing wrong, by the way. So
I wish he would come back.
I mean, it'd be interesting. But maybe they try him every time. Like, let's dust him off, see how he does. And like, nope, he's not coming back now.
I think Tyrion, if he came back right now, would be one of the worst heroes. Sounds weird, but the game's changed a lot. I don't think it'd be good anymore.
Yep. He'd be Ticketus. So.
Gentle Megasaur. That's the minion I want to come back.
Ooh, I would love for it to come back. I wanted it to come back as a tier 7. But
that'd have been fun.
I don't think it'll. That card was contentious.
All right, so Doc was saying he likes the trade thing. He's like, he has a lot of fun trading things. So that kind of brings me into like the first real like strategy question. Do we feel like, what are some mistakes people are making in duos? Like when you're playing, like, are people trading between their partners too much? Are they staying too high on what's that? The Traveler or whatever his name is on tier one. What are the mistakes people are making a lot?
So the biggest thing that I've come across in terms of I got to clarify, if you're focused on winning the game and playing to the highest level, is similar to solo Battlegrounds, is that they kind of waste too much money. Usually you want to level more. I see a lot of players waste money on passing things that don't need to be passed and not playing gold efficiently. Maybe over-focusing some things like Passenger or Puddle Prancer in the wrong moments. It's not that those cards aren't good, but you need to kind of pick and choose when it makes sense and how much money you should be investing into those cards for the stats that you're getting. The main purpose of the tempo of, really any card is to enable you to level and sort of find your end game build. And then from there, I think the biggest thing in duos specifically that people may or may not consider is that what's really strong in duos is the fact that effectively, compared to solo Battlegrounds, you're getting two shops. And so finding synergies becomes a lot easier, especially when you get to tier 4 and you have more minions in your shops. If you want one player to play Quillbores or Dragons, it's easier to find the pieces for those builds since you have two people looking for them. And of course, you don't want both players to be playing the same build and like contesting each other. So if you have two synergistic builds, you can have each player keep an eye out for the core cards, and maybe there's some cards that are okay, but you're like, okay, you know, as a team, of course, you should talk it out and try to communicate or ping, you know, on whether a card is worth it. But for the cards that are worth it, you know, whether it's Poet for dragons or the Bluebird Skyblazer for beasts, you know, they kind of really put your build all together. You know, if you keep an eye out for those, you can really elevate the strength of you and your teammates' boards a lot by kind of completing those builds quicker.
One thing I've really liked about the way they've implemented the things is if there's a pair or a triple, it tells you the green that flashes green, or there's like a green arrow that says you want to trade this to your partner now. And I don't know, like, I like how you can communicate, but you can also be like, yep, you're going to want this, drop it. And they're like, oh, look what I got, present. So I think that's a lot of fun. I really like the way they've implemented it in a way that, like, it makes you kind of realize, like, you're not just focused on you and these indicators, like, hey, this is a triple for your partner. Like, that keeps you kind of focused on, hey, we're both doing something.
100%.
So one thing you said, obviously, that you don't really want to both be playing in the same comp or the same tribe or whatnot. What about the strategy that everyone kind of has expected is one person power levels and the other one builds a board until that other person power levels? Is that a legit strat, or is that kind of just...
It's 100% a legit strat. It's probably the main strategy I've been playing. In fact, I was theory crafting it before Duos was released, is playing, having one player play as a quote-unquote support, and then one player playing as a carry. And there's different ways throughout the game that sort of manifests. Early on, it might be the support gives cards to the player playing tempo, and the player playing tempo might not level right away. They might play for tempo and stay down and buy, but then the player that's playing support might level faster, and then they can find higher tier minions to send to the player playing tempo, and then eventually your roles might swap in the middle of the game. They might not, depending, but, you know, it does help at a lot of stages to have a support and have a carry, because, like I said, a lot of what you're trying to do is figure out one build, right? Because you have two shops. And so whether that's, you know, maybe it's a tier four comp and you're trying to get, you know, dragons, so you want Nightbane and Poet and Terragosa over to one player's board so that they build up strength. And one of the things about duos that comes up in the mid game is if you're both too strong and you have like a composition that scales in combat where they need to go, or you have a death rattle, you know, you're trying to use Rylak. If your partner's board is too strong, you won't get to the fight. And so then you miss out on that scaling. So it can help to actually have one player at times have a bit of a weaker board if the other player's board, their scaling relies on being in the combat. And so you can play in towards, you know, one player having like a stronger board and then the other player going for a stronger comp like Tethys on six, where you have, you know, kind of go infinite, or maybe you're like Rock or any number of very strong sort of higher tier compositions where, you know, then they kind of take over as the carry in the late game. But that other player that was playing carry has been scaling for a long time, and they're still going to be strong. So then you end up having two strong boards as opposed to one board just trying to carry both of you throughout the whole game.
So as like one, as a, you know, you're a very good Battlegrounds player, obviously. Would you ever make your board weaker intentionally so that the other person could scale? Is that something that you've done? Like, oh, I'm going to get rid of this 50-50 so you can scale, and then I'll just figure out something else to do with it.
Yeah, especially if there's a ghost. I've sold some very big units. And depending on what your setup is. So one of the comps that I've been playing with teammates a lot is Rylak Minari. And it's important to get that scaling. And so if you know you're going to be okay, You know, obviously you don't want to just give away health for free. Health is a resource that you need to use wisely. But as long as you know you're going to be okay, you can sell a 30-30. And then by the time that your teammate scales with the Rylek Minari, everything in the shop might be 30-30s. And you're just buying a replacement. And so it's not a big deal, because then you actually got more scaling for your team by buffing up the shop more, and then either using Shelemental or Felbat or False Implicator, you know, to scale using those shop buffs.
All right. So this is all well and good if, like, you're working with somebody you know, or you're talking, communicating. How do you approach the game? Do you approach the game differently if you're solo queuing? Like, I know friend of the show, Doc's best friend, Stormrage, he says, you know what? I go in there, and if I'm solo queuing, I'm just trying to make them better. And that's all I'm doing is, like, I see their board. I try to help them improve, and that's my role. And go that. So do you do things differently when you solo queue? Or do you take a different, like, strategies?
When I've played solo queue, it's definitely more of a balance, because you do have to consider that because you lack sort of the voice comms and the ability to, you know, describe in detail what you're thinking, is it either playing a support or playing more focused on your own board and supporting them in very intentional ways, if that makes sense. So whereas, like, if I'm playing with a teammate, I might have an open board for 5 turns. I might not play a minion on my board for the first 5 rounds. But it'll be okay, because it's a very coordinated effort to make them stronger. And you say, okay, like, here's how we're going to do it. If I'm playing with someone that I don't have those voice comms, I try to do simple things. Like, maybe I'll pick up the Naga on tier 4 that copies, like, a tavern spell. And I'll just pass them, like, Strike Oil or discover a minion of your most common type spell. And then we're both benefiting in that way, right? And so focus more on those sorts of plays. And, you know, you want to be cognizant and aware of what they're doing. So if they're going for a Naga build, maybe I'll go for a Quillboard build. But you're definitely a little bit more limited unless you're a very high level player yourself, and then you can kind of force yourself into a support and, like, really stay attuned to their game, but it's a lot more difficult, I would say.
So actually, that brings up a question. I know we've said you want to go different builds, and you want to go, obviously the heroes, there are certain heroes that jive well together, like, the Nameless One and Madame Goya or something. But, outside of that, are there different, is there strategy to have different comps on each things, but specific comps, like pairs of comps? Are there any strategies around that? Like, if you're going to go dragons with, you know, scaling dragons, then the best comp to my partner to go would be Quillboar or something like that. Is there anything like that, or is it really just kind of random?
There's definitely hero combinations that are particularly strong. Things like pairing Reno with, like, a Galakrond or a Toki or a Bran or even a Thorum, you know, where you can get a specifically high tier minion early and, you know, specifically, or pairing something like Toki with a tempo hero, like a Yogg or something that can build up a strong board. Like, hero, like, Yogg is great because it gives stats. And then because that minion only, you know, effectively costs you 2 gold, every time that it would cost 3 instead, so you can play like a standard curve, but you just pass it to the Toki, and the Toki can level and start hero powering and not spend money on buying minions early, but rather focused on leveling. So there's combos on the hero side, for sure. In terms of the comps, I would say a lot of times there's not specific comps, but if you end up having a carry, but you can't get your teammate to a good spot, there's some specific comps that are basically, you can make them quite strong and effective for low resource investment, if that makes sense. So some of those are playing like Divine Shields with Phayrix. And then you use Catch to like buff up the attack. And so you have a bunch of high attack Divine Shield minions. They can kind of, they won't have health, so they're probably not going to carry two fights, but they can oftentimes do pretty well against one board, and it only takes like a turn of investment from you and your teammate to really grow that catch up. Or playing like one board that's more focused on scam, and you might have like Leroy's on your board and Bramble Witches and maybe like a Magnanimous and Hateful Hag to get some reborns on those scam units. And so then you're not worried about that player scaling as much. If collectively it's a team, you don't really have the resources to build up a whole nother full comp, full board. And you rather just, you know, focus on one player really getting online and then the other player focusing on scam units.
It definitely makes it a lot easier to pivot too, right? Because if your partner is big and you're like, oh, you know what? I know we're doing this, but now I have the right cards to go this comp, I can pivot to that, and hopefully your other teammate can carry you to that.
Well, and speaking of pivoting, one of the interesting things that you can do if you do get one of your carries online is if they pivot, what you can do is you can look for a Well-Wisher, either teammate, because you can pass the spell, or a Portal in a Bottle, and you can send one of the core keystone cards that they're playing around. So maybe they're playing Tethys Greymane with Rockrock, and they don't need Greymane or they don't need Rockrock anymore because they don't have the board space to support it. What you can do is you can portal it to your teammate, and then they can start building around that comp that you've already built that unit up to a 60-60 or something. So they have a little bit more time to build it up because it's already, you know, you've worked on it a little bit, you've massaged it, and it's ready for them to get going. So that's a way that you can kind of pivot and help your teammate by just saying, hey, you don't really have a board yet. Take this card. You can build around this. I don't really have the board space. It was good for me for a little bit, but, you know, now I've got to kind of focus in my build.
It was kind of like the sourdough starter everybody had in COVID.
Yeah, exactly.
So how do you think this is streaming? Because with my limited experience, I know that I am talking to my partner, I am focused on what we're doing, all that. And obviously you do that with Battlegrounds too, but it feels like it's more in this way. Like, it's hard to necessarily engage with the community at the same time as you're playing. So have you felt that too? Has it been a good experience, or what's been the experience as far as streaming duos?
I think the biggest thing is it definitely depends on the viewer preference. Chat engagement it's definitely more difficult than if you're not playing with someone, because if you were talking to your chat 100% of the time and then you add someone else to that, you know, just mathematically, the physics of how the mouth works and stuff, you can't talk twice at once. So you're going to have to spend some time talking to your teammate. But I think that there are streamers. I like to think that I'm pretty good at maintaining my chat engagement while engaging with my teammate. But I think the biggest thing is, if your viewers are interested in it. Personally, myself as a viewer, I like watching duos a lot because you get to see, like I said, I think there's a higher skill ceiling, and it's really interesting seeing how teammates will make decisions, not for one another, but in conjunction with one another. And that's really interesting to me. But some people just prefer the solo Battlegrounds experience. Maybe they're not playing duos, so they're not really interested. So I think it mostly comes down to what the audience prefers. And, if the audience, like, enjoys the duo content or seeing the chemistry between teammates or two streamers or something like that, you know, I think they're going to understand that there might be a little bit less chat engagement. Like I said, I think that's what it mostly boils down to. I think probably more people prefer solo Battlegrounds still, but like I said, for myself, I love watching duos so far, and I know there's others out there that enjoy duo content as well.
The way you were just talking about that made me realize, like, I don't watch as much Hearthstone streams as I used to, but I used to love when a streamer and another streamer, like when two streamers I like were co-oping. and they get together and they're talking through and like, hey, we could do this, we could do that. And they're not really paying attention in the chat. But I used to love that because it's like two people that are like taking different lines. And I thought that was always much more interesting and a lot of fun. Do you ever queue with your community? If so, how's that been going?
I haven't really for duos. I've played in a few duos games with people for on other people's streams where they did like a private lobby. I used to do community games, where I just run private lobbies with my community, but I kind of moved away from that because it was hard to coordinate, or it, you know, for me, sometimes my viewers, like some viewers liked it and some didn't, and then some people would like not get to play, and it was a little bit much for me to manage, and I didn't feel like it was, I didn't think it gave me the best content or my community the best content. But I enjoy other streams that they really do focus on community, like queuing and stuff. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Chuckmate, but like every night he streams about the same time as me and he runs community games, and it's a lot of fun. So for anyone that's interested in that sort of stuff, go check out Chuckmate. He really is super consistent and good about it.
And Chuckmate's
a great streamer.
He's insane too. He comes in and drops like hundreds of subs to Swaybay during her subathons and stuff like that. He's a nice guy. He's very generous and a really good player.
Yeah, Chuck is just a fantastic member of the community.
All right, so Mercenaries gone, Duels gone. The jury's out on Twist. Is Duos here to stay?
In my opinion, yeah, I think it is. I like I said, when it was coming out, when it was announced, I had a healthy skepticism about it. I'm surprised. I think my biggest concern was that when Duos came out, because their stated intention was for duos and solos to be balanced together, that I didn't think they were going to do a good job of that. And that the preference for solos would overtake and they would balance for solos and duos would get all of out of whack. And if people don't want to play an unbalanced game that doesn't get attention, which is kind of what we saw with Duels and Mercenaries, right? Like, candidly, frankly, you know, whatever, you know. It's unfortunate for the players that enjoyed those game modes, but, you know, there weren't enough players, and then it didn't get attention, and then they go away. I think, I don't have the data, but like I said, I think the devs have been... I've been very surprised by how many people have been playing duos and how many people, you know, have basically said, wow, I really have been enjoying this game mode. And I, you know, I'm playing with randoms. I just keep queuing it like I'm playing on my phone. Like, and that's the most important thing, is that if there's players, the dev team is going to pay attention. They're going to keep updating it. And I think that there's a lot of potential. One of the things that I think Hearthstone and Blizzard have failed at in the past couple of years, I think we talked about this the last time I was on, is the esports stuff. I think they really failed at capturing the social community involvement aspect, right? In tournaments and esports was a great way to do that. You look at physical card games, you have locals in these tournaments that really bring people together, right? And then you don't want to quit because all my friends are card game players. I played Yu-Gi-Oh! I had a ton of friends that, like, I have friends on Twitch that I met from playing Yu-Gi-Oh! All the time at locals. And we'd play tournaments together, and then they're my Twitch community all of a sudden, you know? Years later, you know? I think Hearthstone had that, and then moved away from that. And I think that was, you know, like, it makes it easier to drop Hearthstone because you're like, well, all my friends quit, like, I'm out too. Or, you know, or I'm not going to talk about it and be excited about it, as like, because who am I going to talk to about it about? I don't. And duos is a way for them to kind of recapture that and to get people to make friends and talk like, hey, you want to play duos? Like, Saturday night, let's play some duos. Like, we're both free. Like, and so I hope that they really do get to work on making it easier to find people to play with, to make friends. I created a whole channel in my Discord for duos so people could say, hey, I just want to play some duos game. Is anyone available? Because I think it's good for players. It's good for the community. And if that happens, it'll be good for the game. So I hope, and I do think right now that duos is here to stay. Hopefully they make the right maneuvers, but I think it's been surprisingly popular. And because I think the social aspect just makes it stand out from, you know, what mercenaries and duels were, because A, they never really did capture significant player bases that I'm aware of. And so then, you know, I played mercenaries like one day, and then I wasn't going to talk to anyone about it because no one else was, you know, after that same day that everyone else played, no one else was playing it. So then you kind of, you know, outside of a small couple communities, there wasn't, you know, you lose that. And that's, I think that's the biggest part of games and so much. It's just, you know, it's social, whether it's sports or anything.
Could you imagine how fun duos would be at a fireside brawl?
Man.
No, I can't imagine. It's beyond imagination. It sounds fantastic.
And just having like four groups of two all kind of around each other, and like people talking to be like, "Oh, we got you," you know. Just I think that could have been a lot of fun. Sadly, it's not there. So let's still have to talk about regular Battlegrounds. So you any final thoughts on duos, Pocky?
No. Just that if you haven't tried it yet, I would highly recommend trying it. If you don't have someone to play with, you know, you can try queuing random. I think it's pretty good. But I would just really encourage you to go find another community, a Discord, you know, maybe the Battlegrounds Reddit, Bob's Tavern has a looking for duos feature, but there's Discords that have it. Mine has it. You can always pop there. We welcome everyone. But find someone to play with and try it out. It's a lot of fun. I really would recommend it.
I'm going to suggest don't go to Reddit first. Go to
That's fair.
Go to Discord, like I said, like go to Pocky, like find a streamer you like Pocky, like Sway, like Happa, like even Dog, I bet you has them. Like they find them. Find their Discords, look in them, I bet you there's a duos pair thing, and just because when you find people in these communities specifically, these community, like we were saying, is the less toxic people from my experience are in these communities because they've built their communities around, you know, just community. So you're going to find the best people there. So if it is a great way to start finding more people to play with and all that. So I definitely recommend that as well. Doc, you any final thoughts on the duos before moving to Battlegrounds?
I'm going to try to find like duo partners, but I just wish when I would solo queue that people would decide to actually stick around. Because like there's been a couple times where I'm by myself and I like win combats with one board versus two boards. And it's like, imagine what this game could have been if I would have had a second board to play with. But it's fun. I look forward to the future that duos has.
And I couldn't agree more. I'm really enjoying duos. A little behind baseball. I threw the final thoughts to Pocky and I was going to get up and get a drink. And I'm like, all right, Pocky, any final thoughts? And I took my headphones off. And he's like, nope, none. I'm good. I'm like, oh, okay. So, all right. So let's talk about. So, okay. We talked about this a little bit. What are we calling BGs now? So we have solo BGs, we have solo duos, we have duos with your friends. What are we just calling BGs now? If you say, I'm going to go play some BGs, is that enough? Is it too confusing?
I think that is probably so. Assumed that it'll be solos, but I don't know. It's okay. Someone says they're playing BGs, they're playing the right game. That's all I know.
All right, so as you alluded to before, we had lots of changes. They changed 64 minions that they took out. They added minions. They reworked, I believe, Dragons and Beasts, right? And it was nice to see the rework to Frodo Drake, Terragosa's back. You get that thing?
Mm-hmm.
So how are Beasts?
Beasts are in an interesting spot where I think they have a nice mid-game. But at least at the highest levels, they have an issue with their sort of cap and where they cap out. Generally, it's not going to be enough to get you a win. And so when you're playing Beasts, you can be in a strong spot, but you're probably committing to like a second or third place at best. Because if someone hits a comp that can scale, like it's sort of more actively scales, it can scale past Beast usually. They kind of lack a higher level tier of scaling because they're just limited to mostly passive scaling and then using Bluebird and Trigor to just scale raw stats without too much utility. So they kind of have a lower cap there. Their power, which I think is the biggest thing, but hopefully it's something that the dev team works through.
All right, but since you are who you are, what is if they want someone wants to try to win more with Beasts and they want to find that strategy, what is their best route? Like if you were said I'm going to win with Beasts okay, today, what sure. is their best route?
Uh huh. So try to get to tier 4 and then triple into a Bluebird. And then try to get to tier 5 and find a Bluebird. And then triple Bluebird. And then find another Bluebird and another Bluebird and another triple Bluebird. And then any more Bluebirds. And there, like, that's it. Like, it sounds troll, but just get as many Bluebirds as possible.
All right.
That's the best way to play Beasts. And then you can use a Rampager or a spike shell to, some self damage to help them scale a little bit faster, but yeah, just stack Bluebirds. It sounds like I'm trolling, but it's actually just the best way. It's just the best way. So that's the path. That's the way.
This is the way. How about dragons? How does the dragon rework?
Dragons are really interesting. I like it a lot more than we sort of had the start of not the start of combat, but the end of turn dragons for a little bit there. They brought Razor Gore back, and it the idea was kind of nice in concept. In reality, it just wasn't very dynamic or interesting. And so I like Taric in the start of combat dragons coming back. It's a little bit more interesting. Yulon is a really cool card. Poet is an extremely strong card. And then Nightbane is very, very strong. So what we were used to is kind of playing around Taric and Promo, and now it's playing more around Poet and Nightbane for the highest ceiling, but it's very strong. You can splash those Taric and Promo in as well, but it's been very good for me so far, and people are starting to learn how to counter it with Arix, Eliza, Scallywag, which is actually a build that I came up with, but
your own worst enemy.
Undead, you know, any type of summons is really good against the new dragon stuff, but they're very strong because the attack can scale very, very quickly. And for now, I think Nightbane will probably need to get nerfed at some point. But for now, they're very strong. Very strong and definitely fun and pretty engaging.
Now, in Xyleg plus Poet's a lot of fun. What's his face there? Malagos? Was it Malagos? The 412 Battlecry, repeat Battlecry double on Dragon or whatever?
Calagos. Calagos is a little bit weak right now. It's a little bit weak right now because it's just hard to keep up. It comes on a little bit late because it's on tier 6. So it's in a weaker spot than it has been in the past. It actually got buffed from 210 to 412, which it was at before. It got reverted back to where it was, base stats wise. And I would probably stick to the Nightbane Poet stuff if I was trying to play dragons, unless you get a very, very strong Calagos comp with like Rylak and Drakaseth and Brannig. It can still be playable for sure. It's just a little bit harder to make all the pieces come together.
All right. So like you said, the meta has changed quite a bit. We have the new reworks. They changed a bunch of cards. I'm actually kind of surprised they did such a big rework when they announced duos. I almost thought they would have announced duos kind of like mid-season. So that way, you know, hey, the meta's a little stale. So here's something new to work on. But I'm surprised they did all of it at once. But are we in a good meta right now?
I would say it's a pretty enjoyable meta right now. I wasn't a huge fan of quests by the in this most recent iteration. So those going and adding duos back, duos, you know, even when you're playing solos, going back to duos is like a little reprieve, is kind of a nice option. And they have slightly different metas, so you can get some variety that way. But overall, I think most things are in a decent spot. Like I said, I think the cap of like beasts could be raised a little bit, and Quillbores right now are a little bit strong, mostly due to Gem Smuggler and repeated battle cries being strong. We did see Rylak get a big nerf, which was very important in this most recent balance patch, I think, or the most recent bigger balance patch, at least for Battlegrounds. Rylak got nerfed. Which was an important change, but Battlecries are still very strong and Gem Smuggler is still really strong. So we see Quillbore doing very well. But overall, I'd say it's a pretty strong and healthy meta.
All right, so go Quillbore, go Dragons, avoid Beasts. Is there any other strong contenders or ones to avoid?
In duos, I would say that there's a lot of... a lot of potential with Rylak, Minari, and the Shop Bus, because you can use those with demons, you can use those with Shell Elemental, and you can use those with Magnetics, where you utilize the passing mechanic to kind of repeatedly play units. And then, of course, with Minari, you're both benefiting from the Shop Bus, so you can, one of you can play demons, one of you can play mechs or something like that, and you sort of both boost each other up that way. So I think that's been a pretty strong comp. Otherwise, mechs were banned for a week or two, but they're back now. And I heard there were some bugs with them, but they should be in a good spot, I think. So TBD on that, but maybe give mechs a try. They were gone for a while. Maybe you missed them.
That's fair. So you alluded to this before. You didn't like the latest iteration of quests, but so they keep doing. They've introduced quests. They have buddies. We have tickets. We have all the tribes. They seem to be kind of done adding tribes, at least for now. They added spells, which is evergreen content. And everyone's. I don't know anybody that hasn't liked spells. Haven't talked to Howard Moon. Maybe he doesn't like spells, but everyone for the most part seems to like spells. What do you think they're going to add next? Like, do you think we're kind of reaching the critical mass of things they should add, and now they should just be tweaking things and you know, changing minions and changing spells and maybe rotating some of these things? Or do you think they need to keep innovating and keep bringing new things back at some point?
I guess my initial answer is no. I don't think that we've reached a critical mass of sort of these event mechanics. But on the same hand, I don't have an idea of what might be next. I mean, they covered a lot of different mechanics now. I mean, we're talking about close to 3 years that they've been doing you know, different events, which is a lot. I would imagine we might, I don't even know, we might see like maybe tickets, Dark Moon prizes, or anomalies come back maybe for a short period of time. But I don't know. I'd be okay maybe not having, I would love to sacrifice one of those updates for a big like pass on Heroes. Like, I think that would make the game much better than another round of the event mechanics, because what we've seen is Buddies, their second iteration was a lot better. I think it might be complicated with duos. I wonder about that. As well as like quests and stuff. So I that's what makes me wonder about if they'll reintroduce those mechanics so soon while duos is kind of getting up off the ground. But we've seen them progressively get stronger over time. So quests has been reintroduced twice, and they get more polarizing, I guess. And that's why in this most recent, you know, update of quests, I wasn't the biggest fan. I didn't hate them, but I was happy for them to leave when they did. But other streamers like Bofer were, you know, over it. And I don't blame him. All of his points about why quests are an issue, I 100% agree with. Even if I didn't hate them the most, everything he said was spot on about how they kind of warp the meta and the health of the game. And so I'm not sure. I wouldn't mind a break from the event stuff, but I don't know what we'll see next, or if we'll see something else next.
We're probably about 2 years away from BG's Classic, where you play the you'll get your Megastars back then.
I wouldn't mind a BG's Classic. I kind of miss the old days. I wouldn't want to play it all the time, but you know, yeah, that flashback to Megasaur, some brand Khadgar shenanigans with the old tokens. I could get behind all of it.
And plus, we've had so much experience now that we'd probably be a lot better at the Battlegrounds back then than we are now, just like Standard.
I was talking to Beater about that exact idea, concept, because we were talking about, like, so Lee was the original Season 1, like,
director.
Rank 1 player.
Oh, okay.
And I think even Lee would agree that, like, If all of us were to play now, like, he wouldn't stand a chance, you know, like the game is just advanced. Like, we've gotten so much better as a general community at Battlegrounds that it's a completely different game. Like, we've optimized so much from back then. So it's actually very interesting to think about and how people would play now. Because it was just, it's such a different meta in everything. Like, there were different curves that we hadn't even come up with as a community. Like, you played Standard curve. You didn't stay down on tier one after turn two. You just didn't do it, unless you were Rafam. But, like, it was, I don't know, it was different. We just, our minds were closed to the wonders of all the different battlegrounds.
Speaking of open minds, friend of the pod, Smarm, send me your arms, wants chaos mode, where you have tickets, anomalies, quests, buddies. If it's out there, throw it in there. Let's go. What do you think? Would you enjoy that mode?
She's probably not the only person that would want it, but I'm not sure. It'd be interesting to see how many other people would enjoy it.
Maybe for a week event.
I've said this. So Diablo's like one of those situations that people
divisive.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I've always said that. If there's something that's insanely broken, but it's fun for a week, I don't care. Okay. Like, no problem for me. So I do just wonder if there's room for that. I think that, you know, if it's for a week, Chaos Mode, I'm fine with it. Now just convince the devs. No problem.
Yeah. And so I like completely what you're saying. We had anomalies in Standard for a while, and people were very divisive about that too. I love them. Like, I mean, there were a couple that I think we could gone away with, but a lot of people didn't love them. But regardless of how you felt, even if I didn't like them, I love that they took a chance and they said, we're going to do something wacky. We're going to do something different. And I want to see them be able to say, we're going to try things and hopefully not.
Oh, anomalies was my number one thing where I thought anomalies were going to be amazing. I was like, this is exactly what I want in Battlegrounds. And then they came out and I was like, I hate this. I this is terrible.
But you're glad they tried it, right?
So, no, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the concept was great. I think even now, I think they're, if they came back with anomalies, would I have 100% faith they'd be good? No, absolutely not. And I, you know, I think the dev team does great. You know, I interact with them a lot. I don't have faith that anomalies would be good, but I think that they have the potential to. Then that's there. And so if they did it, I would say, okay, I'm willing to give you guys a chance.
The best thing I liked about anomalies,
and then complain more if they weren't.
The best thing I liked about anomalies was that every week they added something new. They removed some, they added some. So it was, regardless of how you felt about them, the meta was shifting every time. So it was always something different. And I liked,
yeah.
Some people want, like, I want to know what my comp is. I want to know what I'm going to do. I want to, like, have a set plan. And it was hard to do that with the anomalies. So I really enjoyed that. I think, Doc, you liked anomalies too, didn't you?
Yeah, I enjoyed them a lot.
Yeah, I think anomalies were very good for players that are happy to have, like, fresh experiences. And I think they were less good, especially for streamers where you kind of play a lot. And so then you'd play, like, an anomaly that might be fun one time, right? Where it's like, oh, this is different. Was less fun, like, the eighth time that you've played it, and you're like, every time I play this anomaly, this is exactly how this game goes, and it's not interesting or dynamic anymore. Which is why I totally agree with you guys. Like, what I wanted from anomalies is fresh games, and I think the way that they did the release of them was a good way to go about that. But yeah, I just think there were, for my own personal taste and preference, there was too many anomalies that weren't fun or dynamic for me.
That's fair. Doc, you got any questions for Pocky before we wrap up the segment?
If you could only go one build in BGs in the current meta for the rest of the, until something crazy happens, what build would that be?
So the build, I don't know if it has a name yet. Savile07 taught me it. It's basically a Nala comp, where you play Nala, you play Shell Whistler, which is the tier 3 battlecry that gives you tier 2 spells. You play Draconic, so you need Naga in. You need Naga in, and you need Demons or Quilver in. So you run that with the trigger battlecry spellcraft, as well as Felbor, and you play a ton of tier 2 spells, which a lot of them give econ via Strike Oil, Careful Investment, and you basically go infinite with spells. And your Felbor gets buffed by eating the shop, you buy the shop buff spell, and you just play spells and spells and spells and spells. And you get giant Felbors, you get giant Shell Whistler, you get giant Draconic. And it's basically infinite with spells instead of, like, you know, with elementals or pirates, which we've seen. So it's a bit different. It's a bit more complex and takes a lot more thought. But because of that, I think it's more fun. So that would be what I would play. So it's probably, like, the strongest build you can do, as well as it's a lot of fun. So someone wants to try and force a build, go try and force that one.
Yeah, all right. Well, Pocky, do you have any final thoughts before we start wrapping up the show?
I do not.
Fair enough.
At least regarding Battlegrounds. We've kind of covered everything.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the new game mode they're going to announce soon, Quads.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I said I wanted to be part of the Trios
playtesting. No, you can't do Trios because then the lobby doesn't match up. You can do Quads, it's 4-on-4.
Oh, I know. I know they can't do Trios, but I still told them I want to be part of it.
Oh, you know what would be... Okay, this is dumb. But you know what would be awesome? Is if... Did you ever play Magic in the really old days where you were a single color and the person to your left was a certain color and the person to your right? So you were blue, black was to your right, and... green was to your left or whatever it was, and you could borrow mana from each other, and you guys could work together, but your job was to destroy the people across from you. So you know how like on the Magic card there's like a pentagram there of the different colors?
Yeah.
Like, so the colors, two colors next to you on the color were your teammates, but only for you. The person to the left of you, you were his teammate, and the person to the left of him was a teammate. So you could like, hey, I need a white mana here, or I need some things. You could work it together. What if you could do the same thing in duos where you had one partner to your right, one partner to your left, and they were different people? So it's like you could pass left, you could pass right, and you were like, your job is to win yourself, but you can also work together to do that. That could be weird but interesting.
That does sound weird but interesting. I'm trying to conceptualize it in my head. It sounds fun. It sounds like a nightmare to try and program, so I wouldn't wish that on the devs, but as a player, it sounds fun.
It's just a dumb idea head. Doc, you have any final thoughts before we move on?
No, sir.
All right. Well, Doc, that was a lot of information between Battlegrounds and Battlegrounds duos and even talking trios and quads, but I think I have a little room for dessert. What do you think?
Yeah, dessert sounds nice. So, Pocky, we've had you on a couple times, and we always have some kind of random question at the end. So this time, if you were the grill master at the barbecue, what are we eating?
Ooh, that's a great one. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if you knew this, but I've been the grill master at many barbecues. I love grilling. I love cooking. I love grilling. Photography, Battlegrounds, plumbing, grilling, cooking. Yeah. It depends. I'm great. I just want people to be happy. So you know, depending on what people want, I'm happy to grill it. If I was doing something more adventurous, I might do like kebabs or something. Like, I know that doesn't sound, but you can do a lot of interesting things with kebabs because like it's very you know, like skewers. Like you can put whatever on there, so you can do interesting things. That's not just your standard stuff. But if I wanted to impress people, I would probably smoke a brisket or something.
Mm.
And then I would do burgers because it's cliche, but I'll make the best burgers you ever had. And like I said, I want people to be happy. So I would do burgers. If people want some like bean burgers or veggie burgers, I can do those too. You know, we can try to accommodate everyone's diets and everything. And yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's what you get in finally, Grill Master.
I'm on my way tomorrow. Burgers sound great.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
one thing I've actually started doing occasionally, not all the time, is with the kebabs. I know traditionally it's like, hey, I put the meat, the vegetable, but they cook at different temperatures at different rates. So I've been just doing the meat kebabs and then the vegetable kebabs and then mixing them because you get a better consistency there, and then you're not overcooking one thing to get something another.
Yep. That's how you should do it. Yep. All the veggies on one, like all peppers on one skewer, all the same meats on one skewer, and then you can mix it, you know, on a plate or something, and then people can have exactly what they want. Some people, you know, they want the chicken, but they don't want the peppers or the onions, you know? Yeah. Heck. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
Sounds great. Listeners, please, if you feel like it, leave us a review. Let us know we're doing the good, bad, the ugly. Let us know how we can improve the show, because we want the show to be the best that for the show we want it to be, but we also want it to be the best for the show you want it to be. If you leave us a review, we'll read it out on the show. Also, if you'll email the show at breadandbutterhs@gmail.com, we'll also read that out on the show as well. Pocky, where can people find you?
I'm at Pocky Plays on Twitch and at Pocky underscore plays on Twitter and Instagram. So feel free to check me out.
I recommend it. And you can find me on Twitter and Twitch at Tito Santana HS. Doc, where are you? And don't say Twitch.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Doc McButt. And once I am all moved in and I take a deep dive into a couple drivers on my computer, you will be able to find me on Twitch again. Pocky, do you have any shout outs today?
Yeah. Last time we had a long basketball conversation, I got a shout out my Wolves. They're doing hot. Undefeated in the playoffs so far, 5-0. So shout out to my Timberwolves.
Heck yeah. How about yourself,
Tito? Shout out to the Seas, baby. I wouldn't mind a Celtics Timberwolves final. Yeah, the Timberwolves are looking really good.
I'll take it. If we're in the finals, I'm down.
Yeah, they're looking really good. I've been thinking I am very happy because booking guests is not easy work. And since we decided to become kind of an interview show, it's, you know, sometimes it gets to be like the end of the week. I'm like, who are we going to have on? I haven't figured that out yet. And having repeat guests that come on topically, like Pocky, like Dragon Rider, like Ron, like Pilot, like Electric Sheep City, having repeat guests that are willing to just be like, hey, you want to come on because we want to talk about the new things. And they're like, yes, I'd love to talk about the new things. So I appreciate you all because it's wonderful to talk to great people and, you know, just build the rapport and enjoy a good conversation about games we love. Doc, any shout outs this week?
First and foremost, Pocky, again, thank you. You're always a pleasure to have on. It's always fun to get to hear insights of Battlegrounds and the difference between how you play it at the highest levels of play versus how I play it, which is not anywhere close to the highest levels of play. So it's just fun to hear insight from someone who does it amongst the best players. Shout out to my brother for just how well his films are doing. And also shout out to Cortland's brother, Colin. He qualified for state in track in long jump. And this is his first year doing long jump in high school, which is his senior year. So wish him all the luck here in the next couple weeks when he goes to state.
Well, guys, this is a fun show, but I think we're toast. We'll see ya.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Slide two brothers meet one another when they slide up to the mic. It's bread and butter with one another. Let's start up that recording light.